Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin our reading in verse number 9. Alan, if you could turn me down a little bit, that'd be wonderful. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful that we can read your word and to learn and to grow. And I just pray, Lord, you would help us to learn even a little bit more about prayer and the wonderful blessing that it is. You would help us, Lord, to see its importance and to be a people of prayer, a church of prayer. And so, Lord, I pray you would bless the Bible study tonight. I pray you would hide me behind your cross. Give me the words to say. Lord, I understand it's your word that makes the difference in our lives. It's not intellect, it's not human wisdom, it's your word. And so I pray, Lord, that we would hold it up as our authority and that we would learn something about our lives and our prayer lives and about who you are. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do we pray is a question that has been asked. Someone said we pray to honor God as our Father. We pray to discharge our office as priests. We pray to avail ourselves to our new privilege as believers. We pray to fulfill our obligation to fellow believers, to pray for others. We pray to seek and to save the souls of men. We pray to outwit and overcome the evil that is around us. We pray to grow personally in grace and godliness. Someone has suggested that prayer is the Christian's vital breath. It is the Christian's native air. Prayer is essential in our Christian life. E.M. Bounds wrote a wonderful book on prayer, and he says prayer is not a little habit pinned on to us while we are tied to our mother's apron strings. Neither is it a little decent quarter of a minute's grace said over an hour's dinner, but it is the most serious work of your most serious years. He said, prayer and helplessness are inseparable. Only he that is truly helpless can truly pray. Someone said, pray if thou canst with hope, but ever pray. Though hope be weak or sick with long delay, be not afraid to pray. To pray is right. Pray in the darkness if there is no light. But pray, pray. Now there are a number of Jesus' prayers recorded in Scripture. But this is the only prayer that we have in the Bible that says, after this manner therefore pray ye. And this is an example of prayer, an example for us to pray. Now, I don't believe that the Lord's Prayer is just to be repeated over and over again. And if we repeat the Lord's Prayer over and over again, we'll receive some blessing by quoting it. But Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And he's given to us a blueprint. We understand that the Lord doesn't want us to pray in vain repetitions. It says in Matthew 6:7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they shall be heard for their much speaking." And just because we talk a lot doesn't mean that God's going to answer the prayers. The Bible says God wants us to have honest and open conversation. And so he gives us a model prayer. He says, listen, this is a blueprint to pray. Jesus left his disciples with one prayer as an example upon which to base their praying. And as we think of this prayer, we're not going to break it all down tonight, but I want us just to focus on the first 10 words of this important prayer. I believe the first 10 words gives us a biblical foundation for beginning any season of prayer in our life. It says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed is from the same root word as the word holy or the word sanctify. And it means to set apart for a purpose. And so our prayer time should include, in the first few moments, some time that is set apart in God's name as the example or the object of our worship. It's during these moments our sole purpose should be to bring glory to God with our words. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Now, obviously not every prayer that we pray is going to have a time of praise. The reality is some of our prayers are really short. Like, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." One famous preacher, his wife was asked, "What is the most famous prayer of your husband?" And he says, she said, "Well, he would sit in that chair. He would drop his glasses and say, 'Lord, help me.'" And oftentimes, that's our prayers. Our prayer is a prayer of for the Lord to help us. But when we come into a season of prayer, I believe it's important for us to begin our prayer time with a time of praise, exalting God in our life. So let's look at this, and this is not going to be a long message, or at least my intention is not to be a long message, but I'm a preacher, so anything could happen, all right? Let's look at number one. What is praise? What is praise? Now, praise, it's simple here. Praise is vocal adoration of God. Praise is vocal adoration of God. And adoration is the act of rendering divine honor, esteem, and love. It is derived from the ancient expression that meant to apply the hand to the mouth or to kiss the hand. And in certain countries, the kiss of the hand is still a symbol of deep respect and submission. And so when we come to the Lord in adoration, this is what we're doing. It's the thought of kissing the hand. It's the idea of submitting ourselves to the Lord. Isaiah 64 in verse number 8, the Bible says this. This is from our message last Sunday morning. "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter." Now remember, this is a prayer of the remnant in captivity, and they're praying to God for help. And in this prayer, there's this adoration. The prayer is, "We are the clay. We are the clay, and you are the potter." And oftentimes in our prayer, we are so selfish that our attitude is, "I'm the potter, and you're the clay, and I'm going to mold you into my will," when our attitude ought to be, "Lord, I'm going to submit to your will. You're the one that is in control. We are the work of your hand. We submit to you. We need you. We need your help." And so the act of vocal adoration is important because when it comes to our prayer life, it is acknowledging God as God. It is putting God in his rightful place in our life. And when Jesus said, "Listen, after this manner should you pray, hallowed be thy name," what we are saying is, "God, you are God. We are submitting to you. We are looking to you for help in our life." Psalm 63 verse 3 says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Because of who you are, I will praise you, the psalmist said. And so this ought to be the natural response that we have to a good God. And would you agree with me tonight that God is good? Would you agree with me tonight that God has been good to you? He is a good God. And so our natural response to a good God ought to be an attitude of adoration. Listen, only praise puts God in his rightful position at the very onset of our prayers. Only praise puts God in his rightful position. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs and the third chapter. Notice with me, Proverbs chapter 3. And we're looking here at point number one, what is praise? And Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's important for us to understand here what this wonderful proverb is saying. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." I heard the story of a gentleman from the sticks. I mean, this gentleman, he had never seen a city. He had never seen anything. And his son, who had moved to the city, bought him a ticket and flew him to the city. And when he finally landed in that city, his son, you know, came running to him and said, Dad, how did you like the plane ride? And the father said, "Well, son, I'm going to be honest with you. I never really did put all my weight down." The reality is this, is that God wants us to put all of our weight down. He wants us to lean on him, to trust in him with all of our heart, to put all of our eggs in one basket, if I could say that. God wants us not to lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You say, well, what does it mean to acknowledge God and God will direct our path? Well, verse 7 helps us to understand that. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, in praising God, we are declaring his sovereignty and we are recognizing who he is, his nature, and his power. And we are acknowledging God in our life. And the word there, acknowledge, in the book of Proverbs, it means to know, to regard, to recognize, to pay attention to be acquainted with. That's the thought there of acknowledging him. God wants us to know him, to regard him, to recognize him in our life. And so when we come in prayer to him, we begin our prayer with this praise, acknowledging that he is God and that we are submitting to his will, not asking God to submit to ours. Now, notice this, praise is important because it is unselfish. Praise is important because it is unselfish. The worship of God demands that our focus be shifted from ourselves to him. Our prayer demands that we get away from ourselves and we focus our attention on who he is. You know, too often, if we would be honest, too often, our prayers are selfish. And even when we're praying for other people, we seem to lean towards selfishness. We are inherently selfish. And yet praise shifts our thoughts from God, I want, to God, you are. And this is important. James 4:6 says this, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." I don't know if you've been around small kids, maybe as a grandfather, a grandmother, or an uncle, or an aunt, you've been around small kids, or maybe you're a mom or a dad. You know how kids will grab a hold of your leg and they won't let go, and you're trying to walk and you're dragging three kids behind you. They're resisting you. They're making it hard for you to walk. And God is saying, listen, if you're going to be proud, it's going to be hard for you to take steps forward. I resist the proud, but I give help. I give grace to those who humble themselves before me. And this, listen, this attitude of humility, this this attitude of adoration to God is contrary to what our world says. Because our world is always telling us, it's all about you. You, you, you. Whatever makes you happy, whatever you want, you can have it now. You don't have to wait. You can have it now. This is what our world is constantly presenting to us. And yet I believe this attitude robs us from God's wonderful blessings that he has as we humble ourselves before the Lord. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James says that if we come to God with this attitude of I want, I want, I want, it's all about me, it's all about me, then we get lost in ourselves. But as we come and we think of the blueprint that Jesus presents to us, as we come with this attitude of praise, and our attitude is, this is who you are. Lord, I'm thankful for who you are. And because of who you are, I am who I am. And as we look at this attitude, then we get lost in who he is. We get lost in his greatness. We get lost in his goodness for our life. And this is important. I see letter B, praise is important because it brings us into the presence of God. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13 says this, and it came even to pass that the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now the context of this wonderful scripture, it's the dedication of Solomon's temple. And when the temple was completed, they brought in all the various pieces of furniture, including the Ark of the Covenant. But yet something was still missing, the presence of God. And the Bible says that they began to sing praises unto God, and the presence of the Lord filled the place. Listen, there's nothing more wonderful than when we enter into the throne of grace is to begin by praising the Lord for who he is. But the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Praise is a wonderful way for us to knock on that door and to say, Lord, you are worthy. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help in my life. Number two, how to praise God in prayer. Now, obviously tonight we could go through a number of these things, and we would not be able to have the time to fit them all into this Bible lesson tonight. But I want to give you some obvious thoughts and obvious ways in which we can praise the Lord. First of all, we praise him for his name. We praise him for his name. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Now, when the Bible talks about the name of the Lord, it's talking about more than just a physical name. It's speaking of the attributes and the character of God. And the Bible says that we are to praise his name. We are praising his nature. We're praising who God is. Who God is. The Bible says in Psalm 96, verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Psalm 100 in verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, who he is in our life each and every day. Psalm 105, verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 135, verse 3 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. His name is a wonderful name. His name is a glorious name. It's sad today that our world today only know the name of the Lord Jesus from a word of frustration. And yet to the Christian, his name means far more than that. His name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Who God is, we praise him for who he is. I'm glad today for who God is in my life. I'm glad he's forgiving. I'm glad that God is a merciful God. I'm glad he's a God of compassion. I'm glad that he's a God of power and strength. Praise his name. Praise God for his righteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. The word righteous means meeting the standards of what is right and what is just. Friend, listen to me. God does more than just meet the standards. God is the standard. And everything that God does is good. Everything that God does is right. Everything that God does is just. The Bible says we praise him all the day long for his righteousness. We praise God for his infinite work. Psalm 150, verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellence. Greatness. He is a great God. The Bible teaches us that his greatness knows no limit, and therefore his praise knows no limit. Listen, we could take time tonight and we could talk about everything that God has done for us. And for every person, it would be personal, because God works in our life in a personal way. God's work is personal in our life. I mean, we would all agree that he saved us. I hope you know the Lord today. I hope that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can be saved today. Your sins can be washed away. But I understand that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, that Christ died for you. And by trusting in that finished work, by calling out to his name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, you can enjoy salvation today. And that's where God's work begins. And we would all agree, yeah, we have enjoyed the wonderful benefit of salvation, but it doesn't end there. That's just where it begins. Because God is at work in our life. And we have seen time and time and time again his grace. We've seen time and time and time again his power, his mercy, his compassion. There is just so many things to say about God's work in our life. It's infinite. It really is. It is infinite. We also praise God for his word. Psalm 56 in verse 10 says, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Now, we know that Jesus is the word. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the word, that this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we praise him for his word. It's a blessing today to have his word in our hands. It's a blessing to have the revelation of who God is in our hands. I mean, you think of John the Baptist, and the Bible talks about John the Baptist and the struggles that John the Baptist had in understanding the Messiah and his work and his life. And Jesus made it clear that the least in the kingdom of God has far more than John the Baptist ever had. The reality is we are a blessed people to be able to open our Bible and to see the mind of Almighty God and to understand his truths for our life. And really an excellent outline for praising God for his word is found in Psalm 19. Would you turn there with me? Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. Look what the Bible says. Let's turn there. Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, we could sing this if you wanted to. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The possibilities of praise really stretch beyond the limits of our imagination. We have so much to praise the Lord for. The Bible says in Isaiah 12, verse 4, it says, "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." Thirdly, and I'll be done, why should we begin our prayer with praise? Well, praise in prayer sets an example for the day. Praise in prayer sets an example for the day. You see, when we take time to praise the Lord in our season of prayer, it sets the tone for the remainder of the day. It aligns our heart. The Bible says it this way, Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let me ask you this question. Who do you think about when I read those words? There's only one person that fulfills that office. And that's Jesus, just and honest and pure and lovely, of a good report. The Bible says, think on these things. You see, when we begin our prayer with praise, we establish an important priority. It's not about us, it's about God. It's not about me. It's about him. We bow before the Lord with this attitude. You're the potter. I'm the clay. And I need you. We praise him for who he is. He's a God who is a God of graciousness and forgiveness and mercy. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Romans 15:11 says, "And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." This attitude of praise will follow us throughout the good and the bad of the day. And when the difficulties come in our life, when the troubles come into our life that day, we remember, wait a minute, I talked to someone this morning that can take care of this problem. He's a God who is faithful and just and merciful and all-powerful, and I'm pretty confident he's got it under control. And that's a wonderful attitude to have throughout your day. It's thanking God for his work in your life and praising him for who he is. And so the Bible says, when we pray, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's pray. Lord, we are wonderfully blessed to know you. And we are a wonderfully blessed people in this day. Lord, we thank you for all of the things, the good things, or even the bad things that you allow into our life. Lord, we know that you're in control. And Lord, we are grateful that you are our shepherd. We shall not want. Lord, I pray you would help us in these days. I pray you would help us to